Welcome to the John Hendrick Fellowship Lunch Podcast. These are messages by Hendrick Motorsports Chaplain Donnie Floyd of Motor Racing Outreach. These messages are spoken weekly to encourage and help you see the world through God's eyes and not your own. Life can be difficult, but we believe life with God can be joyful and fulfilling. I hope that these messages will influence you to trust God and His promises. You can learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Thanks for listening. Let's get ready for today's message. Thanks, Scrappy. Y'all know his real name's Brandon Keller, just in case you didn't know. But I think I'm the only one that calls him Brandon. But great meal, perfect for today. It's raining, it's cold outside. If you were here last week, we talked about starting off this year. We're trying to, how do we live in a way to honor God with our life? And we looked at that word love and what it means to love the way God loves. This week, we're going to look at the author of our guideline. Do you guys like guidelines? I looked it up. Here's what a guideline is. It's a general rule, principle, or piece of advice. And when I think about trying to be who God's called us to be, I think of the Bible like this guideline, right? It's way more than that, but it's this idea that we have something to follow so that we know how to live a certain way. And real quick, I want to tell a story. I'm going to take us back to my military days. It was 1992. I'm living in South Korea. Damon, if you wouldn't mind putting a picture of that up there. So that's South Korea. If you don't know where that is, the black line is the DMZ. And then you have North Korea. It's a very tense area. And I had the pleasure of living in South Korea for 2 years. And at one moment of time there, I was approached about being part of a unit called 7th Air Force Commando Unit. And just leave that up. And part of that was a lot of shooting, a lot of blowing stuff up, a lot of tactics, a lot of running, a lot of physical fitness. And I was being sent to Australian Repelling School. Has anybody ever heard of that? Well, they repel backwards. And so I was going to be sent to Jeju Island. You see it on the red dot. It's out in the Yellow Sea. It's a small volcano type island. And believe it or not, the Army then had an Army base there. And these soldiers, along with ROKF, Korean soldiers, they trained you in Australian repelling. Now, for that to happen, we got there. We flew there and spent 3 weeks. The first thing they did was they gave us this guidebook. Show this book here. Now, the reason this is important is because I just gave this to my daughter while she was home for Christmas break because she's into climbing, and she had to send me a picture of it. But this book is the first thing we got, and they were like, memorize this. Memorize this guideline here because you're going to need it to be able to be successful at what we're going to ask you to do. And so eventually we would be trained to run down this next picture. So this is a bunker that I'm sitting in, but across the way is a 500-foot, it's rock all the way to the bottom. And we would be learning how to rappel Australian and running down that, not going backwards. And what Australian rappel is it's a new way of rappelling. It's only been out since like the 60s, but it was founded by Macca McGale in the 60s, and he was from Australia, and he said, listen, a better way to assault something is to not go with your back to it, but to go facing it. And so we would learn how to do that at 300 feet. And so the next picture is me in training, jumping over the cliff. I'm the guy holding the rope, and you just pray that the other guy hooked it upright. But you gotta follow the guidebook, because if you don't follow the guidebook, you're in trouble. And so you just run down it as fast as you can. Now, we ended up doing this with weapons in our arms, with M16s and all. And the next picture, gives it a little more detail. You're just jumping and you're just going to the bottom. It's way better than bungee jumping. It is amazing. We ended up doing it with all of our gear and all. But that's the last photo. Why do I bring that up? Because in that course for 3 weeks, you had to have that guidebook with you everywhere you went. If you didn't have it, like, where's your guidebook? They wanted you to memorize it. Why? Because there were things you were learning in that book that if you didn't understand, if you didn't memorize, you were gonna make a mistake and you could possibly kill yourself. And they took it very serious because we were at way high altitudes. And I started thinking about that, about guidebooks and how much that book meant to me, that I still have it today. Think about this. This was in 1992. I still have that book. And remember, I could still do that again today if I found a building tall enough. But it started making me think about our guidebook and the author of our guidebook. See, here's the important thing about that guidebook is someone wrote it. And we had to trust whoever wrote it. Whatever they were writing for us about how we were to belay, how we were to use figure eights, how we were to use our couplings and everything we did, we had to know how to do it exactly right. But somebody had to write the guide. And it reminds me about the Bible and the fact that we have an author of this book, our guideline. And sometimes we miss how important it is to understand who the author is. See, the author is just not Micaiah McHale from the 60s. He's just not some famous theologian like Spurgeon that was born just like me and you. See, the author of our guideline is way bigger. It's way deeper. It's way more spiritual, way more holy, way more important. So I started Googling people, a couple here, and then I Googled Jesus. And I just wanted to know, like, if I was to Google Jesus, I Googled Jesus as a guide, 20,500,000 hits. 20,500,000. I Googled just Jesus as Savior, 66 million. I Googled as a leader, 160,000 hits. And I thought just for fun and to make this controversial, I'd do Joe Biden and Donald Trump. Why not? It's an election year. So I did Joe Biden. He only got 1,800,000 hits on anything. And then I did Donald Trump, and he really didn't do much better. 2,040,000, right? But Jesus, when I added up all the different Google searches, over 100 million hits for this man named Jesus. Why is it that someone so long ago, so many people would Google, right? And so I want us to look at the author of our guideline. The verse for today, John 11:25, Jesus's friend Lazarus has just died. His sisters are panicking, and Jesus has said to Mary, I said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes, in other words, adheres to, trusts in, relies on me as Savior, will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me as Savior will never die. And then he looked at them and said, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Right? He's trying to say here, so I got some advice for you. I got something you need to live by, but you're going to have to believe it. You're going to have to trust in it, that what I have to say is true. We know if you read on, he raises Lazarus from the dead, and we see the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept, right? And so with that said, whom do you follow when it comes to your moral code? When we think about spirituality and God and following Jesus, why do we even do all that? Outside of just going, man, I want to go to heaven when I pass from this life to the next. Why do we follow people? Right? Is it for advice? Is it for entertainment? Is it because we like to look at sports? Why do we follow people? And then why are there people out there that even think we want to listen to what they have to say? Right? Why does that exist? Well, when you think about us as believers, we know who we follow, but the world in general, right? we follow this certain moral code to understand right from wrong, and we follow people. We follow our parents. We follow our friends. We follow our political figures, our pastors, our mentors, our supervisors, business owners, teachers, athletes, all these different people. We get to choose who we want to follow. And then we have to say, well, why am I following them, right? There's certain reasons you follow certain professional athletes, especially if they're champions, because they can teach you what it means to be a champion, right? There's certain reason we follow pastors and teachers and preachers, because they can teach you what it means to follow the Word of God. There's certain reasons we follow and listen to our parents, because they know what's best for us. There's certain reasons we look at different political figures, because we put our hope that they're following the same thing we're following, that we can live as a better people. But in the midst of all of that, we know all of those people stated can fail us. In as many books and things they have written, man, they're not Jesus, right? They don't have almost 100 million hits trying to figure out who they are, right? And so why Jesus? If he is the author of our guideline, why Jesus? In other words, of all the religious figures out there, why Jesus? Why do us Christians put so much emphasis on Jesus? And I want us to look at that briefly today, because I think it's important for us moving forward. Jesus, think of this, he claimed to be God. Do you know there are people out there that say he did not do that? There are different religions that say he never did that. Well, I can prove that he did say that, and we can see it right in Scripture. We look in John 10, 27 through 30. Listen to this. The sheep that are my own hear my voice and listen to me. This is Jesus. I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they will never, ever, by any means, perish. And no one will ever snatch them out of my hand. For my Father who has given them to me is greater and mightier than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. And then he says, I and the Father are one. The Amplified says, in essence and in nature. Jesus here claiming that he and God are the same. Now, if you know anything about the Trinity, we have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we have the Father and the Son claiming to be the same. I am one. Well, people go, well, he really wasn't claiming to be God. Well, let's read on in John 10:33. The Jews were a little bit stirred up by this, if you read this in the Scriptures. The Jews answered Jesus, we're going to stone you to death, not for any good things you've done, but for dishonoring God. You claim to be God, though you're only a man. See, it's not fair for us in 2024 to go, he didn't claim to be God, because the very people that lived with him said he did. They said he did, and they were with him, and he said he did. He said, I and the Father are one. We're the same. And so one reason we follow this author of this guideline for us in life is he claimed to be God. Y'all know anybody else that's claimed to be God? There's been a few people over the centuries, right? There has been. Well, how about this? He rose from the dead and was seen by his followers. Interesting thing about Jesus is when people ask me, Donnie, but why Jesus? And I'm like, well, man, first of all, he claimed to be God. And man, he conquered death. I don't know anyone else that's done that. I don't know anyone else that historically has been dead for 3 days and rose from the grave. No one in no other religion. Listen to what he had to say. We see in Luke 24, we also see it in the book of Matthew. We see it in the book of John. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself suddenly stood among them and said to them, peace be to you. But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And he said, why are you troubled and why are your doubts rising in your hearts? Look at the marks in my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see. A spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have. See, Jesus himself identified himself to his followers. We see in other parts of the gospel where he actually presented himself to Thomas. He presented himself to the disciples. He presented himself to Mary. And he even presented himself to 500. And then he makes breakfast for his disciples. Yeah, that's in the scriptures. He feeds them fish. But you can only do that if you're human. A spirit didn't feed them fish. Jesus said he did. So see, not only did he claim to be God, he rose from the dead and was seen by many people. How many people you know that have written something for you can claim to be God and have risen from the dead? How about this? He has existed since the beginning and has lived among us. See, the unique thing about Jesus is we think about him just being born on Christmas. We celebrate Christmas. He was born on Christmas, so that's when we celebrate that. So long ago, we see in the book of Matthew, in the Gospels, this wee bit boy was born, right? The Messiah, the Emmanuel, God with us. And he was born in flesh, but did you know he existed before that? He existed before that. Listen to this in John 1, 1 through 3. He said, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, understand here what the Word is. The Word is Jesus. So in the beginning, Jesus already existed. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. He was already with God in the beginning. Everything came into existence through him. Not one thing that exists was made without him. So not only was he born in human flesh, but because he's God, he's been there since the very beginning. Right? Man, I've only been there since August the 6th, 1968. That's as far as I go. You might can count 9 months in the womb with my twin brother. That's about it. That's it for me. But he has been around since the beginning of time. And then how about this? He suffered for us. Now I want you to think about this when you think about someone that's writing a guideline for you of how to do life the right way. In other words, that is pleasing and honoring to God, or pleasing or honoring to self. And think about this. He suffered for us. For as a believer, you have been called for this purpose, since Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you may follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, nor was deceit ever found in his mouth. That's important because Peter writes about this in 1 Peter 2. He's encouraging believers how to live. And he says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Peter's saying, we got to rid ourselves of this. And he uses that word deceit. But yet we see that when he writes about Jesus, nor was any deceit ever found in him, right? Plus no sin. So not only did he suffer for us, he was sinless. In other words, no sin, perfect. And we see again in 1 Peter 3:18, for indeed Christ died for sins once for all, the just and righteous, being Jesus, for the unjust and unrighteous, the innocent for the guilty, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. So when I think about someone that's got a guideline and it's been written for us to do life so we know how to live life better, make better choices, make better moral choices, make better decisions, do things that are honoring to God, what better person to follow than the author? The author. But no, Paul wrote 13 epistles. Well, he did. And so did Peter. But they were moved by the power of the Spirit, and they were writing the words of God. So as much as he used their hand and their mind, it was God's words. Therefore, it was Jesus. He's the author of the guideline, and it's the best guideline going. And so why would we not follow it? How about this? Last, he loves us. We talked about love last week, what it means to love the way God loves, right? Wanting the best for others. Well, we see in 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. So people go, why do you choose to love? Well, because the author, he loved first. So he's the guideline. He's the one with the, he's the principle to go by. He's the one giving the advice and saying, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to live. And why should I listen to him versus someone else? Well, I don't know. He claimed to be God. He was. He claimed he was going to die and rise from the grave. He did. He existed since the beginning of time and space, and he lived among us. And he chose, even as perfect as he was, to suffer. Anybody in here raise your hand to suffer? Man, I suffered just leaving my car earlier. It was pouring down rain, and I'm trying to carry stuff, and I'm getting soaked. And if y'all know me, I hate the cold. I don't like it. My wife says we need it, and I'm like, you're from Buffalo. What, I mean, what kind of comment is that? They don't have it in Miami, right? But I don't like it. I suffer. Not this kind of suffering. Would you volunteer for this kind of suffering? Right? Who volunteers to suffer? Maybe Navy SEALs, Green Berets, right? They don't suffer like Jesus suffered. And he did it because he loves us, right? And so when we think about the author of the guideline, this book right here, the reason we talk out of this book right here, the reason I'm more apt to read this book than somebody who wrote about this book is because this author claimed to be God. He rose from the dead, right? He existed from the beginning of time and space. He suffered for us, and he loves us. And I couldn't think of a better author. I couldn't think of a better resume when it says, why I should listen to you. I just can't think of anyone that would come before that. And so this is why we talk about Jesus, because he is the author of what it means to do life and have a full life. And so I want us to think about that as we continue to move forward in our racing year, in our year here at HMS. And real quick, to help me justify this, I got a quick little 2-minute video I want us to watch before I close.
People everywhere are searching for answers and for meaning in their lives. Could the answer to our purpose be found in understanding who Jesus is? Letting Jesus be the model for how we are to live? The Bible gives us many examples of who Jesus was. Jesus walked among the sinners, healed the sick, comforted the brokenhearted, and offered hope to the weary. He carried the weight of our sins to the cross. On the third day, he rose from the dead, conquering death itself. Through his sacrifice, we find forgiveness and eternal life. He is our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend. He teaches us to love our neighbors, to forgive as we have been forgiven, and to find purpose in serving others. He is our hope in times of despair and our light in the darkest of days. No matter where you are on your journey, he is calling you with open arms. For Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
So as we close, I Googled my own name. Has anybody ever done that? I don't have a Wikipedia. I'm a nobody. There were not even any Google searches. That's how unimportant I am, and I'm okay with that. but not Jesus. Everybody wants to know about him. And there's a reason why. He's the author and the perfecter of life. And if you want to have a good year in 2024, an election year where it seems like the world's falling apart, focus on the author of our guideline, Jesus. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for our time, the opportunity to meet and move our schedule around. We're grateful that we were able to do that, Lord. And so, God, as we have looked at Jesus, the anointed one, the sovereign one, the one that came from the beginning and has existed and will come again, we are grateful for what he has done for us. We're grateful for our salvation. So, God, as we navigate this life, this new season, help us to stay focused on who he is and what he can do for us, what he wants from us. We know, God, Lord, that life can be difficult, but he is one that has the best advice around. And so, God, let us rely on Christ and what he continues to do for us. And so, God, let us be a people that learn from him and love one another, love those around us. We continue to lift up this company, the leadership here, all that has to happen to make this place work daily. We pray for your favor over HMS. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. We hope you enjoyed this message. It is our hope that you take what you have learned today and allow God to use it in your daily life. Feel free to share this message if it has been a benefit to you. Learn more about Motor Racing Outreach at go2mro.com. Take care and God bless.